All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to Good Together, where small daily steps allow us to create good in the world together. I'm your co-host, Laura Wittig, CEO and founder of Brightly.eco, a platform that empowers you to make a daily difference through shopping, learning, and connecting with other changemakers around the world. Hey friends, welcome to the second episode of the Good Together podcast. So by now, we hope you've listened to our first episode, but just in case, to recap, this podcast is brought to you by Brightly.eco. Brightly.eco is a marketplace, community, and also content destination that is dedicated to inspiring you to live well every day. Good Together is designed to be a bite-sized podcast that we deliver to you every 2 weeks or so that does things like myth bust and dive into various issues that come up in the world where we feel like you can take daily actions to make a difference. So some of those issues include shopping sustainably, recycling, meal planning, all sorts of different issues that we're going to dive into later. For this episode, Lisa, our co-host, and I actually dive into the myths around food shopping and food waste. So I don't know about you. I personally try to do my best as the week drags on to make sure that I'm shopping with waste in mind. So I'm trying to make sure I'm using all my leftovers. I'm using recipes that are complementary so we can kind of share ingredients. But Lisa and I were really curious to understand more about what's going on in the world right now related to food waste, specifically related to consumer food waste. So things that you will encounter on your daily habits. So anyway, with that being said, we're going to get into the episode now. We really appreciate your support. If you're interested in engaging with us about the podcast or about ethical and sustainable living, please check us out on Instagram at brightly.eco. And you can also find a link to our Facebook group called the Ethical Lifestyle and Shopping Collective, where we like to chat about all things ethical and sustainable living. So please join us on that Facebook group and look out for the new Brightly community launching soon. All right, we're recording now.
Awesome.
Yeah, so Brightly is a platform that is designed to help spread conscious consumerism through connecting you to thousands of beautiful products that are made sustainably and ethically around the world. We also want to connect you to stories and to people who are really changing the world alongside you. So this movement is something that can only be accomplished as we come together. It's really what the theme of this podcast and what Brightly is about. I think right now we all feel I don't know about you, Lisa. I'm sure you would feel like this too, but I feel like every time I look at the news, there's just more awful news coming out about climate change or about politics, and just feel very helpless sometimes. Yeah. And so really, conscious consumerism is just making a vote for change by using your dollar. So instead of saying, you know what, I want a cheap t-shirt that was made by a struggling family in Bangladesh, I will pay a few more dollars for a shirt that was made in the United States, for instance, and it was made ethically. So that's just like the root and the root cause of why we started this. So Lisa and I are great friends. We're both involved in the ethical fashion space. I think we both have different journeys to the space itself. So I got started thinking about really conscious consumerism as I started my career right out of college. So I actually started to work for Amazon Fashion, where my whole job was to sell as many shoes and handbags as I could to consumers on Amazon. And
that's
the opposite
of ethical consumption,
well,
for sure.
That's right. It's totally the opposite. And, you know, at the time, I hadn't even thought about the damaging effects of what I was doing.
Why would we think about that? You know, we're not trained to think about this stuff. You know, we're not trained to know who's making our products or how they're made.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Lisa, the pivotal moment for me was when I was standing by the fashion editor's closet and I looked in and I saw this mountain of poorly made shoes and handbags coming directly from overseas. You could even smell like the chemicals coming off of them. And I thought to myself, oh my God, like my whole job has been to sell millions and millions of dollars of these products every week. You know, so like what on earth have I done? And so, you know, I was still trying to figure out what I wanted to do there. And then I actually got the opportunity to go move out to the Bay Area and work for Google in social impact search. So basically, you know, my job there was to connect people who were looking for help on Google to crisis hotlines that helped them. And that was really, really impactful. I'm proud to say I was able to launch a hotline for victims of sexual assault in the United States while I was there. So that was really, for me, that was a pivotal moment thinking to myself, this is really something that I can do. I can take my technology knowledge and use it to help impact the world for good. You know, and I've always been interested in international relations. I know you, Lisa, are really interested in microfinance and Muhammad Yunus. I was too in college. Mm-hmm. I actually saw him speak and was
that's
like,
"That's funny, yeah."
We that's amazing. I thought he was like some rock star. All my friends thought I was a big nerd. So yeah, I mean, I suppose the seed has always been there, but the really the growth of me realizing that this is something that I can do every day, both in building a company, but also in just making responsible decisions as a consumer, that's relatively new. So I'm super excited. And of course, you and I are really excited to spread the word, I know.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, as you mentioned, Laura, Muhammad Yunus, my whole background is in nonprofit. Just like you, actually, interestingly enough, my bachelor's is in international relations. But yeah, I was more excited about nonprofits, you know, and solving poverty in Africa. Obviously, the accent part comes from Russia. I'm originally from Russia, from Moscow, and I came here to swim for a university. So I was a college scholarship athlete, but also obviously to study. And I love to mention that actually Angelina Jolie was one of the biggest inspirations who brought me into the social impact space, because in Russia, unlike here, nonprofit and social impact space is tiny. Most of the general population doesn't even know about it. But guess what? There's still, you know, paparazzis. And as a celebrity, I found out that Angelina Jolie, you know, she adopted her first child from Cambodia and she became a UN ambassador for refugees. And the rest is history. For me, you know, as I was going through my undergrad, right after college, I got two internships, and I realized that, you know, I'm not sure that nonprofits is actually the most sustainable solutions to solving poverty or, you know, international development or solving the water crisis issues. So this is when I read Mohamed Yunus's book, Creating a World Without Poverty. Absolutely amazing. And this is when I was introduced to the idea of social business, right? The idea that businesses should exist not for the sole purpose of making money, but also for the purpose of solving any given social problem, like poverty alleviation. And soon after, I met my co-founders at a previous company, Globin, who are also Mohamed Yunus's fans. And Globin, it's actually now, it's one of Brightly's brands, but Globin is, the main product is an artisan box subscription. It's a monthly subscription, but every single piece in the box is handmade by artisans in developing countries. So this is where the poverty alleviation aspect comes into play. And every single piece is, of course, beautiful and handmade.
It's all gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And yeah, this is how basically Globin and Brightly kind of came together, right? Amazing, beautiful pieces, but also ethically made. So that's us. And I think it's time to get into the theme of today's episode.
Yeah, absolutely. So like we said, each episode that we're gonna put out on Good Together is going to be about a small step that you can think about to create change every single day. So today we wanted to talk a little bit about zero waste shopping as it relates to food consumption. So specifically, yeah, like how you go to the grocery, what type of waste is created by the general food supply, and really get into it that way.
Yeah, actually, to confess, I don't know much about it. I mean, I know what zero waste is. I know that, you know, plastics are bad, and I know everybody's like banning plastic straws right now, but I'm pretty gullible and not knowledgeable about, you know, all the stats and the impact, and especially, you know, like grocery shopping. You know, that's what I love about our focus. Something as simple but as important thing that we are doing almost on a weekly or daily basis, like how can we change our behavior there and why?
Yeah, absolutely. And so this actually, the idea for this topic came from a Facebook group that Lisa and I created. It's called Ethical Shopping and Lifestyle Collective. We'll put the link in the show notes. But basically, I read this article that was talking about how Trader Joe's, which Trader Joe's is definitely a place that I go to on a weekly basis. So my husband and I actually shop primarily at Costco, which I'll talk a little bit about later. But then to kind of supplement things that I didn't want to buy in bulk, we head over to Trader Joe's. And one of the things that you notice when you go into Trader Joe's is how much plastic there is. Like, when's the last time you went into Trader Joe's, Lisa? There's one by you, right?
Actually, yeah, it's been a while. I used to go there much more often, but now I have to confess it's Whole Foods. And again, it's just like the convenience aspect, yeah, of things, right? So, for me, it's now Whole Foods, which I think we talked about in the group a little bit. I think Whole Foods is actually doing a bit better job than Trader Joe's about the like plastic packaging. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just,
yes,
it's like an assumption of a person who doesn't know anything. But
oh,
yeah,
no, they definitely are. Whole Foods, you know, and that's the other thing too. I think when people think about ethical living and et cetera, you think like, oh my gosh, I have to buy 100% organic, or I have to go to something like Whole Foods. But really the way that we're going to be able to change the world is to get companies that you wouldn't think of as being champions of ethics and sustainability to become those champions, right? So,
yeah,
but yeah, so anyway, this article came out on Grub Street, which I'll link to in the show notes, but it basically talked about how there was a Greenpeace petition that was started and over 91,000 people signed it, asking Trader Joe's to cut back on plastic waste. And if you've ever been to a Trader Joe's, you'll notice what I'm saying. Like, basically everything is in plastic. Like, you go, even when you go over to the produce, most of it is in plastic. And so, like, I remember one time I was trying to find some zucchinis and they were like four of them in a plastic, you know, wrapped container. So anyway, that was just strange.
It's funny because it's their business model, right? They're super affordable, they're very economical and efficient.
Yeah.
And in terms of, they're like almost the opposite of Costco, which I was also thinking about. You know, in Costco, you're buying this huge box or bag of anything that should last you forever. And in Trader Joe's, it's the opposite. But you know what? I was thinking Costco too. I always go there and it's almost all the time it makes more sense, at least I'm too lazy to make actual calculations, but oh my God, there is this bag, 5 pounds of potatoes for $4. Of course it's cheaper than if I buy this amount from Whole Foods or somewhere else. But I'm always thinking about, I'm just going to produce waste. I'm not going to have time to eat all these potatoes.
Yeah, you're totally right. And I think one of the things, let's talk a little bit about that. So you can think from a logical perspective, it probably does make sense to get in your car once, go to Costco once a month, load up on what you need, and then realize that, hey, you weren't using the car and, so many times to go to the grocery every week. And, you can also think about the amount of greenhouse emissions that would be created by trucking in things on a fresh basis every day, right? So the idea of shopping in bulk seems like it's a good idea up front. Costco itself does have specific environmental initiatives where they are trying to make sure that they're sourcing more organic, more locally produced items. Actually, fun fact, if you go to a Costco in Texas, where I'm originally from, or you go to a Costco in the Bay Area, you're going to get a very different selection of products. And that's one, based on what people want in the area, but two, they also do try and support local, businesses and chains that can produce obviously a lot of things because it's bulk.
Absolutely. Yeah, I did notice it too. It's not even just by state; it's literally by city or in the neighborhood, which is
100%. I mean, now the one thing I do want to point out though is my husband forwarded me a petition that's going around that's asking Costco to reconsider where they source their toilet paper from, because apparently that is leading to deforestation in Canada. So I'll include a link to that petition. It's very interesting because the specific toilet paper in question is their house brand. And if you look at the packaging, it says that it's FSC certified. And so I'm really curious to know more about that certification. So maybe that's something we can kind of dive into in another episode. But the point I'm trying to make is you're never going to find something 100% that's 100% right. There's always going to be trade-offs. Don't go crazy thinking about all these trade-offs.
With toilet paper too, most of the toilet paper is actually the biggest brand. It's actually owned by the Koch brothers, the big
one. Okay, yes, that's right. Yeah.
To go all political, but that's another crazy thing. It's that's something not to be too bogged down about. This is not zero waste, or it's organic and it's super soft, but it's supporting this political lobbies that I don't like. But, there's us as a human, we have all these different things that we care about. And most of the time, any given product is not going to fill into all of these buckets, right? It's it's not going to be perfect. So we should be okay with it and just choose maybe one thing that we care about the most. And this is something we are doing with Brightly too, right?
Exactly. Yeah. If you go on Brightly, you can actually shop by values. So you can say I'm a vegan, I only want to see vegan products, or, and eventually we'll start adding stories to that where you can read more about becoming a vegan, things like that. Same thing if you're interested in empowering women, we'll have that as well. But yeah, I mean, you're right, Lisa, this spectrum is wide and there's many different things that you can be passionate about and actually choose to support through your dollars. But to kind of close the loop on the question around shopping in bulk and Trader Joe's,
What are some tips? I know you're a much better shopper than me.
Well, I wanted to give some people tips, right? Because that's the other thing we want to do with this podcast is give you some information, but then also make sure that you leave with some actionable tips to do. Otherwise, it can start to feel a bit overwhelming, right? So let me talk a little bit about what I've been doing and what I've been reading up on, because there's all sorts of things and I'm not perfect by any means, right? So one of the things I like to do is meal planning. So that's how I, so right now it's just my husband and myself. We don't have any kids. It's just us two in a household, but we're able to get most of our groceries once a month at Costco because I do a bit of meal planning. And my mom actually recommended this app to me called Plan to Eat, which helps you do that a little bit, but I actually don't even use that app. I just kind of have this running list in my head of recipes that we kind of rotate through on, you know, a monthly basis. And I try and think about those recipes, plan them out, and then figure out what we need to buy in bulk. So if we're going to buy veggies in bulk, which veggies are we going to do? And then how can I quickly cook those like veggies so that they maintain freshness? Mm-hmm. You know, we also buy a lot of frozen meat. So if you're a meat eater and you want a quick way to, you know, quickly, you know, throw some meat into a recipe, I actually like to use my Instant Pot, like
to defrost.
To defrost. Like my friends and family make fun of me because I'm such an Instant Pot evangelist.
Yeah.
But truly, it's been like life changing because I hate defrosting meat in the microwave. It's a huge pain in the butt. So anyway, meal planning helps with bulk shopping. Another thing that can help is to use reusable containers. So not just like Tupperware to store leftovers in, which most people do, which by the way, eating leftovers, as much as I don't really love that, is also another good way to
make sure that you're using up your weight. It's so funny you mentioned. I'm totally fine with leftovers. And of course, different foods, you know, they taste differently. But yeah, my husband is absolutely not a leftover person. But I think as long as you have one leftover eater in the family, you're good.
That's right. That's right. My husband's that person. And of course, there's like different hacks you can do to heat up your leftovers in different ways, which is interesting. But yeah, so the other thing, so talking about reusable containers. So one thing I noticed in doing sort of like a scan. So I don't know if you do this, Lisa, but like every once in a while, like maybe once a month, I'll kind of take a note of like things I've been doing over the past month and think about like, is there anything that I could be doing better? And that's like, in my career, in my personal life, et cetera, et cetera. But one of these things was I noticed I was using a lot of Ziploc bags, plastic bags.
The worst. My husband is trying to make me, I mean, we actually do that. We rewash them. Is that what you're going to talk about?
Well, no, I'm not. I have rewashed them before, mm-hmm. but even that for me was like, I didn't know if I was getting them clean enough. Like I'm kind of
I'm not a neat freak. So yeah, that's funny. We're so different.
Yeah. So what I found was there's actually these silicone, however you say that, bags that you can buy through a zero waste packaging shop. Like there's one called the Package Free Shop, which is probably the most well-known
Yeah, I've been getting some ads on Instagram and it's so awesome. Again, we're just seeing this tide of activism, right? Of just about shoppers. Again, we are voting with our dollars. All this research is coming out. And guess what? The brands are listening and we have all these companies. So do you have a few names?
Yeah, absolutely. So Package Free Shop is a good one. Another good one is just Amazon. And I know we all have, like, we could do a whole episode on the ethics of Amazon. I know it a little bit too well, having worked there. But it can be a good place to find things. So I actually purchased some reusable silicone bags that look like Ziploc bags, Lisa. But it's awesome because you get, like, I got, like, 4 in a pack. And then you just use them like you would any other ones. And they're really easy to wash. You can actually put them in the dishwasher.
Oh, that's awesome. I know it's a big deal breaker for everyone. So that's great that they made the dishwasher safe.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, foil was another thing I found that I was using. And like, again, that's something that is, there's like a bunch of debate on whether or not foil can be recycled. It actually depends on your, the recycling facilities near where you live. But overall, it just doesn't seem like a good idea for me to like be throwing a bunch of metal out when I use it. So there's also like silicone baking mats, which I switched over to. So just like, those two things, that's actually like not that big of a deal in terms of my mindset shift. But if you think about the amount of waste that I'm going to be preventing in the landfill, it's actually pretty big. And it's not just the amount of waste. It's also like this waste is not going to biodegrade, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, maybe if you're not into like washing things, there's possibly a biodegradable sandwich bag out there for you. You know, I don't know. Like maybe mm-hmm. you look it up. So
yeah,
we'll I don't know. It's just like, being curious, right? Like, how can we be curious as consumers? And how can we, you mentioned the word activism earlier. I get really excited about the term armchair activism, which, fun fact, that actually used to be a derogatory term. It used to mean people who would talk a big talk and then not get off the, get off their butts to go do something. But what I think is cool about the internet is I think you can be an armchair activist and make a lot of difference by sharing things with your friends, by purchasing things online. So,
absolutely.
Hey, I vote that we take that term back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so one more thing I think we wanted to mention about, and you probably again know way more about it, shopping locally, right?
Yes.
Like, is it a good idea to go to your local farmer's market? Or maybe you have tips and hacks how you can make it more affordable? Is it a myth that local farmers market are super expensive or super cheap? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, so I'll confess, we don't have a bustling farmers market that close to me. I used to go to them pretty frequently when I lived in San Francisco. It was a little bit easier for me to kind of walk out of my house. But I do think that you can save money at a farmers market if you're really interested in one particular item. So let's say that you love cherries. Like, probably the cherries that you want to buy are not easily found in your local supermarket, but you know that the cherries at your farmer's market are ones that you really treasure. Like, you're going to be able to save money that way, right? Because you're going to savor those cherries. You're not going to, like, you know, fork out so much to get some specialty item in your grocer. But I mean, I think it's just about being thoughtful, right? Like, how do you make sure that you are actively, you know, using your dollars for good and not breaking the bank, right? So just be thoughtful, do a little bit of price checking in your head, and realize that, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe there's some things you're better off buying in bulk.
Sorry. Yeah, I was actually, one of the things I know shopping locally is about, you know, buying stuff from, you know, your local producers, obviously. Duh. And I remember there was like even a challenge about like making a Thanksgiving meal, which is, of course, is like the biggest feast of the year. It's like, what if we challenge ourselves to only buy, especially if I think for feasts like that. But I mean, I think it's actually more impactful to be thinking about every single day. Because again, Thanksgiving is once a year, but what if you challenge, especially if you're able to think about what is this one item or a couple of items that I actually can buy locally, right? So like if we are in California in the Bay Area, and I think it's great. I think Trader Joe's probably doing it. I know Whole Foods is doing it. There's labels everywhere now, right? California made, Oregon made, right? So if you have some alternatives like California versus Mexico, not to say we should not support Mexico economy or whatever. It's just more environmentally friendly if you're buying something that has been shipped to you, not from like hundreds or thousands of miles away, but just like trucked from a local farmer, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, so again, it's about just being thoughtful, being mindful, doing a little bit of research if you'd like to. Again, we're not trying to guilt trip you into doing anything. No. This is just, you know, designed to spark a conversation and to, you know, make sure that we're having a new generation of conscious, curious consumers.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'd love your feedback too, right? It's one of our first episodes. So, you know, tell us how we're doing. Tell us if this is actually helpful. Maybe you want more in-depth discussion of one element of this, because again, we're just touching on all of these different things that you can do. But of course, again, we can talk about in depth. I have a full episode about every single one of them.
Absolutely.
Especially in the beginning, the feedback is super important in the beginning, and we're making the show for you. So let us know.
Yeah, no problem. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. So one thing I was going to say is there's a few ways you can contact us. So one is you can email us at podcast@brightly.eco, like eco-friendly. You can also, like we mentioned earlier, find us on Instagram, which is brightly.eco. That's our username. And so we'll be asking you questions about these episodes, about what you want to see on Instagram through stories, etc. So we'd love to have your feedback and your follow there. Like, that's where we're most active.
Yeah, absolutely. Instagram, yeah, I think it's the place to be for, like, if you're ethical fashion shopper or a brand. And yeah, we're just looking forward to the conversations there. If you're more of a
absolutely
Facebook person, go join our Ethical Shopping and Lifestyle Collective too. I know there is some people like to spend more time on Instagram versus Facebook or the opposite. So we are everywhere to hear from you.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for the conversation, Lisa. I always enjoyed chatting with you.
You too. Yeah. Thanks for all the research and tips. I did not know most of these things, so that's awesome.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation between Lisa and I, and that we inspired you to go out and create some change in the world today. As always, you can find us online at brightly.eco, so type that into your web browser. That handle is also good for us on Instagram and Facebook, so please join the conversations there. And finally, I wanted to give a thank you to our friends at Pod Pronto, who did the editing and gave us some consulting for this episode. So if you're interested in really fast, really awesome podcast editing, please check them out at podpronto.com.